And so I'm going to just start out with a couple examples of people that were ordinary that God used extraordinarily. And just great feats happened because these people were willing to say, not my will, but your will be done. And so the first one was Gideon. Gideon was a man who was actually not just the type that looked like a warrior. He was hiding in the fields. He was afraid because the children of Israel were oppressed at that time. And yet, this fearful man chose to believe what God told him, and he ended up being turned into this mighty warrior. And he only used 300 men to conquer the Midianites. And just to see how God changed someone from fearful to a warrior. You know, there's these things are used as examples for us. We are not everything that when we first come to Jesus, we're not everything that we are going to be. But as we follow him, he multiplies and makes us into these mighty men and women of God. And you were born to do great things for him. It is on the inside of you, those desires. You know, you want to make a difference. There's a reason why you want to make a difference. God put that desire in you. And so we see that amid trials, God went and made David a conqueror. And then he ended up becoming the king of Israel. We see that Samson, who was a flawed man, when he turned to God, he was mightily used of him. And you see Deborah, a woman who was used to conquer the enemies of Israel and then to judge Israel. And then Esther was used of God to win the heart of a foreign king and to save her people. If she had not yielded to God and listened to her uncle, the children of Israel could have possibly been extinct, or God would have had to have used another way, another source. But she said yes, and God was able to use her. And then we've got Joseph, who was a hated brother. You know, it doesn't matter what your family circumstances are. He was hated by his brothers, and then he became a slave, and then he became a prisoner. And he went from the depths of prison to being second in command of Egypt. And God can turn situations that look hopeless, and he can make great opportunities for us if we just don't quit. If we don't give up, he will take our ordinary life and change it into making us an extraordinary a tool that is in his kingdom. And then you find Mary. She was just a young and engaged lady, just a young girl, and yet she became the father of the Savior of the world. And she could have said no. She could have said, how can it be? There's no way. I can't believe that. That's way too big. Nobody's ever done that. So therefore, it can't happen. But no, she said, be it unto me as you have said. And she yielded herself to be able to follow the plan of God that he had for her. Each and every one of us have that opportunity to say, no way. Each and every one of us have the opportunity to say, I would rather do this. And yet God consistently is drawing and putting on the inside of us this desire to do great things for him. He, you know, those didn't come because of your ego. It's not this claim to fame that we all have this desire to do great things. Now, sometimes our ego can get in the way and we can do things like that, but this was birthed in us for a reason. God wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And when we rely on him, he gets the glory. When we try to do it in our own strength, we get the glory. But that's not how God intended it. He intended us to hook up with him and do things his way, and then our lives are fulfilled, and when everything is said and done, we have no regrets. And so in Psalm 139, 13 and 14. I think I told you 13 through 16, but it's actually 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Next, 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. God created us. From before we even had dreams, before we even had desires, he formed us in our mother's womb. He purposefully put talents and gifts and abilities and desires for the future on the inside of us. We were created to do great things for him. Amen. We were created to go after a cause. But you know what? When we don't do things God's way, sometimes that cause becomes maybe environment, or the cause becomes things that are like pro-abortion, or the cause becomes something that would take us away from the things of God because we're not yielding to him. But when we do things his way, our cause becomes Christ. Our desire becomes his desire. And then he is able to multiply. He is not the God of addition. He is the God of multiplication. And so when we look at that, it's amazing what he can do and use in us if we will just give it over to him and say, you know what, Lord, not my will, your will be done. And so if we look at Genesis 1, 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You are not made this small creation. You're created like God. You were created with his abilities put on the inside of you. And so many times we can just start to feel so small and insignificant, but you are a child of God. You know, you don't think, there was a new royal baby born this week. I use sometimes that as an example. That child has privileges, not because he earned them, but because he was born into that family. We have privileges not because we have earned them, but because we are born into the family of God. And so he wants to bestow his love on us, give us his confidence, give us his strength, give us his creativity. He has put skills on the inside of us, and he wants to multiply those skills and affect our world. And if we look at Exodus 35, you're going to see that God prepared the people of Israel. He prepared them with different gifts and different talents to make the items for the holy tent. That they had not had a tent for worship for God, but he created people and placed gifts into people so that this tent could be made as an honor, as a place for God to be and to dwell among them. And in verse 25, it says, all the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen cloth. And in verse 26, all the women who were willing used their skills to spin the goat hair into yarn. Do you notice the fact that it says willing? There could have been women there that weren't willing, that were not used. And it was a choice that people have. We have a choice today if we're going to follow God, if we're not going to follow him. Let's look at verses 30 through 35. Then Moses told the people of Israel, the Lord has specifically chosen, I just want you to know, I don't know how to say all these names. I will do my best, but you know, if you think I'm doing it wrong, I probably am, okay? So, the Lord had specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He was a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. And the Lord has given him, both him and Oholiab, son of, this is the one I'm not even going to try, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach their skills to others. And the Lord, did you see that? The ability to teach their skills to others. There are some people that are meant to be teachers. There are things that you are meant to pass on to other people and help other people develop the gifts in them. So the Lord, verse 35, the Lord has given them special skills as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet thread on fine linen cloth and weavers. They excel as craftsmen and as designers. And then in chapter 39, verse 43, after everything was done, Moses saw that everything was done the way the Lord had commanded, and he blessed them. The blessing came after the work was done. And everyone had a part to play. If they were not necessarily using their skills, they were using their ability to make money and bring that money to God. And so there's all sorts of ways that we can impact the kingdom of God. It's not, you know, if it had just been Bezalel, he would not have been able to do all that work. If it had just been him, if it had just been one lady trying to spin everything and then sew and weave and do all that, it wouldn't have gotten done. You know, God is a God that brings people together. He brings different people with different gifts, different talents together for a purpose. And you know what? Individually, we can make somewhat of a difference, but collectively, that it becomes exponential. It becomes just wild, the things that can be done when you're working together. You know, if you, I sometimes paint my house, and when I do it by myself, it takes me so much longer to get something done than if I have somebody helping me. The reason is because I have to stop and I have to take care of a kid, or I need to put dinner on, or I need to, there's so many different things that I can get pulled away, have to do this, have to do that, and it just, you're starting and stopping, and it doesn't go as fast. You know, it's not that I want to take, a super amount of time to get a room painted, but it just is, that's what happens. It just takes me a certain amount of time to do something. But, oh my goodness, if you have somebody helping you, it's like, it's not even just that it goes twice as fast. It goes so much faster because you're just getting things done. You're working together. You encourage one another to get it done. And it happens. And I look at that God was so smart in how he set things up. He didn't say, okay, you go off and sit by yourself and you go watch TV and look at all these TV evangelists and you do it on your own. He said, assemble yourselves together. And then we get to come together and we get to encourage one another and we get to put our strengths together. I don't have all the strengths that Jim has. He doesn't have all the strengths that I have. But you know what? When you put us together, it's not just all that I can do by myself and all that he can do by his self. When you put the two together, it becomes exponential. It is multiplied. And God is a multiplier. And you know what? Our imperfections are nothing compared to his power if we will yield to him. I'm not perfect. Jim's not perfect. But you know what? When you are married, hopefully the other person's strengths, instead of going and looking at their weaknesses that you're good at, you look at the strengths in that other person and you say, you know what? I need that. Thank God that you are good at that because I'm not. Rather than, well, you know what? You should be able to do this just as well as me. Well, then who needs you? You know what? If we're in this together, there's going to be things that he's going to be good at. And instead of focusing on the things that he's not, I need to be going and saying, I like this about you. Thank God you're this way. Thank God you're not like me. And we hook up, and you know what? God will multiply a marriage. If we will walk in love with one another, that's one of the first places that he will begin multiplication. He puts us together with people on purpose. And so he will unite you with somebody who thinks different than you do. And it's really good. Thank God they think different than you do. Because if they thought the way that you did, you could just be single and do just fine. But by allowing somebody else to be able to speak into your life and maybe bring a balance to something that is not a strength to you, it allows you to be dynamic. You are powerful as a unit. And that is one way that God uses multiplication in our lives, is he does that through marriage. Another way that he uses multiplication is through our children. One of these days, we're going to die. But you know what? There's a generation that we are responsible for to train and to educate and to tell them about the things of God and to put that into them. And you know what? There's so many teachings out there right now that are not godly about this. They tell you to just let your child figure it out. Well, how good is that? You've got how many years more experience? There is a point where we let them experiment and do different things, but you know what? If they're going to cross a street in front of a car, you better tell them not to. Because if you let them figure it out for themselves, guess what's going to happen? An undesired result. And so it is important that we are putting into our children, that we are speaking into their lives, that we are explaining things, that we, you know, when a two-year-old is doing something that they shouldn't be doing, I don't care how much you try to explain to them why they shouldn't do it, they're not going to understand what you're talking about. So you've got to help them understand what you're talking about. And the Bible in Proverbs has lots to say about this, how to help your child to understand no and yes. And so I'll leave it at that. If you're curious, read the Bible, because there's so much stuff out there that goes contrary to the Bible, and we believe it. And we're experimenting on these generations and then wondering why it's not turning out well. Well, you know what? The further we go away from doing things God's way, the further that we are going to get the results that God has for us, that he has intended. And so Proverbs is a wonderful, wonderful place to get wisdom, of learning how to do things God's way so that he can multiply. He wants to, in Proverbs, there's stuff about marriage. There's stuff about getting along with other people. There's stuff about raising your children. There's stuff about finances. Proverbs is something that you could read every single day and always learn something. Always see it a little bit different. And it reminds us constantly of what is, you know, puts things back in our face. And so when we do things God's way, the result is multiplication. And, you know, some might be saying, well, my children are already grown. Yes, that's just fine because you've put seed into them, you've done different things. And, you know, now the time is to walk in love with them and to encourage them. If they aren't following God, that doesn't mean that you have to never invite them to church or never say things about God in their life. You don't want to be always telling them what to do. Children want to know that you accept them, even when they're grown up. They want to know that you believe in them. And if they feel like you believe in them and you accept them, they will listen from time to time. It won't be every time. If you're always telling them every time what they're doing wrong and they need to be doing something different, they don't want to hear anything from you. They're going to shut down. But if you are telling them, you know, the things that you can genuinely say that you believe in them, if you can say that and genuinely put good things into them, there's going to come a time when they ask. And that's the time where God will give you the right words to say, to encourage them, to help them get back on track if they're not on track. And then there's other times where you're going to see them and they're going to be raising your grandchildren. And there's times where you're going to say, oh, you're being too tough. Well, you know what? You were probably too tough and your kid turned out okay. So we have to sometimes learn to back off on certain things and give advice when asked, but give the opportunity for advice to be asked. In other words, there are times where if they know that they're loved, if they know that they're cherished by you, they want to get your advice, because I can tell you, as a mom, there are times where I'm just thankful that there are people that are further in life that know some of this information that they can give to me, that I don't have to figure everything out myself. It is important sometimes to get godly advice from godly women and godly parents. And so if you are that person in someone's life, in your child's life, it's such a blessing. But like I said, you don't want to be the type that's always nagging them. We can do it positively. God is not one that goes around and beats everybody up. And so as parents, we have to make sure that we don't come off that we're beating people up, but that we are believing in them and giving them the opportunity to do what God has for them. And guess what? You're going to affect the next generation. But you're not just going to stop there. You're going to affect the generation after that. Because if you have placed things into your children, they are going to start placing that into your grandchildren. And that is so important. You will be multiplied. Your faith in God is being multiplied to future generations. And then another way that God uses us to multiply things is in the church. We looked at Exodus. You know, that was a church. That was a group of people that were following after God. They used their talents and their skills, and they built a beautiful place of worship for God, for him to inhabit the presence, or the people of Israel. They created this place. And you know, when we come to church, we have the ability to create a place where people are, their lives are changed. You know, we can have a place where we set an atmosphere so that people are saved, so that people, the captives, are set free from depression, so that you're set free from addictions, from marital issues, from all sorts of different things, and also where your physical ailments are healed. We want that type of atmosphere, that we come together, we come expecting. We, you know, come in believing that God is who he said he is. And when we come in together like that, we set this atmosphere that is different than if we were just at home by ourselves. It is awesome to have worship by ourselves. It, you know, and there's a place for that. But there, it is multiplied when you come in together and you are worshiping God together. And as a family, you are pulling on whoever is speaking and saying, hey, I'm going to get whatever it is that God has for me. You create this atmosphere that the anointing of God comes in and he touches lives. And you know what? It was a lot different when there was one person in church. You know, it was still good. God was still there. You know, he says he's in the midst of where two or three are gathered together. He's still there. But I'm telling you, there's a multiplication that begins to develop. It becomes exponential as we get together, as we put our talents and our gifts and our worship and our pulling on the things of God. As we come together and we do that, it builds and intensifies in a way that can never happen when you are just completely by yourself. God never created us to be isolationists. He never made us to do it our own way. He never made it to where we have to reinvent the wheel. He gave us a book and instructions on how to do things. And then he gave gifts unto the body of Christ. And, you know, Jim's been talking about that. You know, no one is perfect. And I can guarantee you that a pastor, no matter where you go, is not going to be perfect. But you know what? If you come in and you bring your gifts alongside, you can do dynamic things in your area and in your congregation. Thank God in a marriage I don't have to have everything, all the strengths myself. I can have, God hooks me up with somebody who's different, and together we can be more whole together. Well, the same thing happens in a church. It's not all up to whoever's on the platform or whoever's working in the areas, in the children or the greeting. It's all of us combined. When we had one person, guess what? We were the greeters and the ushers and the children's workers and everything. But you know what? That only goes so far. That only can reach so much. You can only, I tell people all the time, I'm not always going to be the children's minister. I'm not always going to be the youth minister. And that will be such an awesome day when that happens. Not because I don't want to do it, but because that means there's somebody that is focused only on that area and can take it and run with it. And that's what we see. But if there's not somebody taking that place, doing that, if there's not, then it cannot happen. So every single one of us are so important to the body of Christ. The things you don't take for granted, the things that you're good at. Don't take for granted that, well, everybody would want to do that, because you know what? Not everybody does. You know what? There are some of you that are anointed to work with children. You want to work with children. That is the place. Well, everybody wants to hold babies. No, they really don't. I think babies are amazing, and I love children. And that's a good thing, because it gives me a heart for that area. It helps me to want to develop it and to make it a place where children can grow. That's awesome. That's good. But you know what? When you have people coming alongside you that have that vision and that desire to see children and have that heart and understand that it's not babysitting. Working with children is not babysitting at all. It's putting into them the values of God. God took that so seriously. He tells us in Proverbs, we are to train. We are to invest. We are to help these children become all that God, because you know what? One of these days, they're the ones that are the adults. And if they didn't get the foundation, then they're going to be weak adults. And so it's an opportunity. And so if that's a desire that you have, praise God, take it and run with it and allow Him to work in you. Not everybody likes to clean. You know, there are things that we do because you have to do it. You know, sometimes you have to clean your house because it's important. But, you know, there are some people that really like to get in and organize every single thing in their home. They can organize the sock drawer. They can organize everything and just think it's fun. And you know what? There's others of, you know, like me, I don't think that's fun. I'll do it, but it is not fun. It is work for me. That's not what I do on my day off. Because I'm telling you, that just is like, it's great for some people, but that is not fun for me. But you've got people that really like to do that. That is a valuable gift to the body of Christ. And it is one that I would say is overlooked time to time. Well, of course everybody is okay with that. No, they're really not. That is a gift. And so if that is something that you do, do it unto the Lord. Give that gift to Him and let Him, you know, use you. Because I'll tell you what, if the church was never cleaned, that would make an impression on visitors. I just want you to know that they would be like, and then they come into church and they're like, okay. They're not ready to just sit and worship God and listen to what the pastor says because they're thinking, who are these people? You know, what is going on? Why would you have 15 water bottles in the foyer? You know, it affects. And so what all of us do, is it impacts the kingdom of God in great ways. And so what you have, your gifts, your talents are made to shine. You are supposed to shine in the body of Christ. You are not, there's certain things that are more seen and some things that are not as seen, but nobody is made to be a wallflower. You are not, you don't have that right to be a wallflower. In fact, a lot of times, sometimes that is just either pride. I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes, but sometimes to think that everybody else can do it, I don't have to do it. You know, without meaning to, you're saying that everybody else can take care of me. No, this is a team effort, which is wonderful news because we, in turn, as a team, get to be blessed. Blessed. You know what? The people that didn't willingly spin the goat's hair into yarn were not a part of the blessing when Moses blessed the people because the work was done. And you know, there's a day that we will stand before God, and God is going to tell us if we did what He wanted us to do or if we didn't. And that day is so glorious if we have done what He has told us to do. There is a blessing that comes. You know, we have the opportunity to develop our talents. We also have the ability to share our love with one another. It is always easy, just like it's easy in a marriage to find faults. You can find faults in your children. If you are in a home that is always fault-finding, it's not really a relaxing place. Your home is meant to be a relaxing place, an environment. Now, you know, we may not do that perfectly, but that's what the end goal is to have a place where you can come and you can relax. But relaxing doesn't mean just sitting there and letting everybody wait on you. Because if everybody did that, there'd be no food, there would be dirt everywhere. Even in the atmosphere where we are relaxed, we are still helping and working and creating a place for us to enjoy life. And so, you know, if you've given, I'm going to go back to the marriage and the family, and then we'll go back to church. But if you have given out all day long at work and you haven't reserved anything for your home, when you come home, you have nothing to give your family. And I believe it is on purpose that there are so many activities to do. Because you know what happens? You, by the time you get home, you are spent and you don't want to do anything else. You don't have any more to give. And so even if you still work it up and try to give it to your children, once the children are in bed, you have nothing left to give to your spouse because you're exhausted. And so it's important that we look at what we are doing and cut out the fluff. Cut out the things that aren't valuable to our homes. Make sure that there are the things that we're doing on purpose for a purpose, and it is helping us to further our home. So that God didn't make you to be using all your energy in your 20s and your 30s so you could die in your 40s. And yet there's plenty of people out there that are doing that. There are geniuses out there that can't stop, and they die so super young. And yet, had they paced themselves or done things the way that God intended them to do, they would have had such a more impactful life. It's important that we do things God's way, and then allow Him to multiply. A lot of times, if we are giving out so much all the time to everyone, a lot of times we're trying to do things in our own strength. God never made it to be a one-man show. It is not meant to where one person is doing it all, and you're just so gifted and so talented, you've got to give it all to everyone else. No, God intended it to where if we're doing it as a pool together, the work will get done, what needs to be done will get done, and it will lay this foundation that you can grow on. You see things happening all the time where things are laid, and if you're doing it in your own way, there's not a foundation. And then the pressure comes, the winds blow, and the house falls. And so in our own lives, if we will just give things over to God, He will be the multiplier. He will be the one that will, it may not, the thing about it that happens is that it doesn't look exciting every day. And when it's not exciting, sometimes you want to quit doing the things that, but God told you to do it this way. He told you to put into your marriage. He told you to walk in love. He told you to put into your children and to train them and to teach them the right ways to go. Train them to have respect for people. Train them, put things into them. And, you know, if we will do these things, it's not always fun day in and day out. Sometimes when you lay your head on the pillow, you are tired because you have put, into things. But then you allow God to rejuvenate you and to build you up. You get up, you're doing your devotions, you're getting refilled, set to hit it again the next day. And as we do that, God, it may not look like something today or even a year later or even 2 years later, but I'm telling you, eventually you start to see the results. You start to see, oh, this is so good. And like I said, there's people that are looking out there for the instant results. You know, like you go to the fast food and you get your food instantly. But life is a marathon. It is not a short sprint. And there's so many people that are out there for results. I'm going to get this result, and I'm going to get it as fast as I can. And they wear themselves out. And we have to be so careful. We do not want to burn out. We do not want to wear out. We want to allow God to be the multiplier, not us trying to do it in our own strength to do something. And so the same thing happens in the body of Christ. You know, there's just times that you can see people get burnt out in doing things. You have a part that you play in the body of Christ, but it's not all up to you. So don't take certain things so seriously that you are going to wear yourself out, and then in a year you just can't do it anymore. It's so much more powerful and effective if you do what you have, if you give what you have to give, not something that you don't have to give. You know, there's times in our lives where we can do things, but it's not always in the best for the church or for us personally to give everything that we have. You know, you can have money in savings, but that doesn't mean that every time that the church offering plate is passed that you put everything in, everything from that savings into it. You know, there are times that we have to give of our overflow, but we have to have the overflow. And so if we're giving constantly everything from us all the time, then we are imbalanced. And God is not an imbalanced God. He is going to use you. He is going to flow through you. But you can only give what you have. You can't, you don't want to give. There's ministers all the time that will give at the, and the people that are filling it are their family, you know, their children. And they lose their children, but they have a big church. That is not actually the way that God, he wants everybody to come along. And if everybody is doing what they're supposed to do, it shouldn't fall on the shoulders of just one person. It shouldn't be to where anyone burns out. It should be where we're all working collectively, and then we're going forward and doing all that God has for us, and we will see the multiplication. But nobody can sit on the sidelines. People will. But you're not supposed to. That's not what God intended. He wants you to get in and involved, but not to the point where you're overly involved to where it takes away from, you know, from things that are important. You just see people that they will take something and they'll run with it and do it to such an awesome degree, but then they can't do it again. And God would rather you take it and not do it so awesome so that you can do it again the next time, and the next time, and the next time. He doesn't want us to go so hard that we fall. He wants us to go at a pace that's doable. We're in this for the long run. We're in this so that when everything is said and done, we have no regrets. And so as we trust God, as we learn to follow him, as we do things not in our own strength, not in our own ability, but in his power and in his might, he is going to multiply. It is not up to us to multiply. It's up to us to be willing and obedient and then allow him. He's the one. We can't figure out all the ways of that he does things. It's not our job, but it is our job to show up. It is our job not to quit, and it is our job to do what he tells us to do. And if we do that, then he is responsible for the multiplication. And so if we understand what our purpose is, what we're supposed to do, we are allowed to be ordinary. We don't have to be extraordinary in and of ourselves. We are allowed to be ordinary with faults, with things that are imperfect. We are allowed to do that and then join up with other people who have strengths in where our weaknesses are. Join up with them. Let's become the team that God created us to be. This team with the same purpose, which is to do His will, which is to see the kingdom of God grow, which is to see people saved and set free and delivered and walking in health, all of those things. And as we do that together, God can multiply. And you will see things happen. We believe that every seat in this place is going to be filled. Not because Jim is just an amazing speaker. He's my favorite preacher. I hear people, but I'm telling you, you know, he's my favorite. I could listen to him all day long. And so, you know, I understand I'm the wife, but thank God I think that way because I get to tell him that all the time, and that's important, you know? It's good to hear those kind of things. If I could be the one that's a nitpicker and said, hey, you know what? That scripture was used wrong. You know, thank God I don't do that to him because guess what? That would hurt him up in the pulpit. If, you know, he'd be like, oh, my wife's going to be listening and she's going to hear that. I'm going to hear about this. No, God, he didn't need me to be the nitpicker. So thank God. Wives, we are not meant to be the nitpickers. And husbands are not meant to be the nitpickers. You know, we're meant to support and to encourage and to draw on each other's strengths and in the body of Christ to do the same. You know, if you're on the pew and you're saying, well, Pastor Jim, he's somewhat good, you know, I can tolerate it. You know, if you're in that, guess what happens? You're not pulling on the gift that's put on the inside of him. And as a church, if we will pull together, we are going to create an atmosphere, like I said earlier, that the anointing of God is so strong and he can work because we're expecting. We're not expecting him to be perfect. We're not expecting the children's workers to be perfect, but we are expecting as a group, as a body of Christ, to be perfect in him because all of us have the missing parts that somebody else doesn't have. We all join together and we're fitly put together. You know, one puzzle piece doesn't look the same as when you put the 1,000 pieces together. If I just have one part, I'm not going to be able to tell what the picture is. But as we all put our gifts together, it makes a beautiful picture. And so we have to look at it like that. Everything that we're doing, whether it's our marriage, whether it's our children, our family, or whether it's the body of Christ, we are jointly fit together with other people that think differently than we do, and that's okay. And we put these parts together, and we become what God, a unit, a solid unit that is used for Him. If you've got a ball and there's a hole, that ball cannot be used. But if you've got a ball that everything is, there's no puncture wounds, there's nothing, that ball can be kicked, especially if it's a kickball, you can go a far distance with it. You know, if we are all doing what we're supposed to be doing, God can just use it and flow through us and cause us to do, to affect this area, to affect our homes, to affect our communities, to affect our friends, to affect to affect Massachusetts, to affect New Hampshire, to affect New England. And that's what we're supposed to do. And so God is good. We want to make a commitment to follow Him. We want to make a commitment to follow His word, to use His strengths and His abilities to multiply what we're doing, and then to fellowship with our believers and come together and be used of Him. And that will cause our ordinary choices, our ordinary lives, to become extraordinary for Him. He's the one that makes the extraordinary. He's the one. You know, I'll say one other thing. There are people that you can look at that are extraordinarily talented, and they're in the limelight, and it looks like, gosh, I would want what they have. And you know what? They're so sad and empty because they have these talents and these gifts, but it's not being used for God. And there's a hole, and there's an emptiness that ends up happening because we're made with a purpose, and that purpose is only fulfilled when we are going with the things of God, because we're made in His image. We are made to connect with Him. We're made to want to do things, and like I said, to have this desire to do great things for God. But when we look at just our own abilities and our own skills, there's an emptiness that takes place. There's a sadness and a loss. So you see these people, and I'm telling you, I you go in the grocery stores, you see the tabloids, you see these people that would seem to have it all, but they do not have God, and they are empty. And they are empty. And we compare ourselves to that. And we're like, we don't have this talent, and we don't have this ability. And then we begin to think lowly of ourselves. And you know what? God does not think lowly of you. Amen. He looks at you and says, if you will get in your place, if you will do what you're supposed to do, I can multiply that. And at the end, the result you're going to have will be well worth it. It's going to be amazing. We're going to live life and at the end of it say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I did it your way and not my way. All of us have done it in our own way at some point, and we've seen the results. But when we do things His way, He can turn those results that weren't good around and just multiply. Multiply the time. Multiply, the joy that we were intended to have, the peace that we were intended to have. And so we want to live life with no regrets. And the only way that comes is if we choose to do things His way and allow Him to use our ordinary life and to make it into an extraordinary life.